Welcome to the Local 765 Podcast. Hello, brothers and sisters. We are back to the Local 765 Podcast, where we aim to provide you with information while making an attempt to keep you entertained. Keep in mind, this is our first podcast since Secretary Emeritus Simak walked off into the sunset, but we are going to do our best, even though he set the bar pretty high. We did run into a few sound issues during the podcast, but we'll work out the kinks as we do more. So stick around and thanks for listening.
All right. We're on.
I'm here.
John?
I'm here.
All right, everyone's here. Yeah, we can hear you crunching. Joffy's over there stuffing his face.
What are the odds of that?
Yep. Ron, we going to have a D-shift showing today?
I hope not. No, more the merrier. They're always welcome. I think we'll have a couple people. So,
John, any B shifters coming?
I have no clue.
You got to speak into the mic.
No clue.
Letting Chaffee and Rob gather people.
That's it.
Any tier twoers?
I'm trying.
Are they coming or no?
I mean,
<It's okay>. Am I putting you on the spot right now?
I put in a group chat and just get like a couple of responses. That's about it. So
you got to offer free drinks or something.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Or maybe, you know, free pension benefits.
All right. So on to details. We tackled labor management. One of the big issues we had to bring up in our past labor management meeting was the four-hour minimum on details. We had thought we resolved this in October. We got an agreement, and then somehow that didn't stick. So we brought it back up in a meeting. We had an incident with an NHL detail that the members were sent home about an hour after arriving there. And we're told they were only going to get paid hour for hour. Greg, you were there. Do you have any additional info? Or?
Yeah, so the detail was at 49 in the South Beach parking lot for the NHL All-Star Weekend. And the detail from what the NHL said was it wasn't canceled all the way. It was basically a weather delay. And one of the chiefs made a decision to just send everybody home and come back later for the concert that was definitely going to happen at nighttime. So we had a couple members leave. A few came back. And that's basically it. So we had a later management meeting, and they agreed to any details canceled within 24 hours of the detail will be paid the minimum of 4 hours.
As long as the members arrive.
Showed up.
Yeah, the members have to arrive. And that, Ron, historically, that's what they used to do, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. From when Chief Lorber was in charge, or going way back, it's actually on the paperwork. When we give a cost estimate to the people providing the event, that's written in there. There's a four-hour minimum charge for all details. So that's the basis we use to ask that the members be paid, and that's what they agreed to inevitably, and that's what we got. So
perfect. So everybody should have seen that come out in an email or an IB or a memo, whatever they put it out as. But you have to be there in order to get that 4 hour minimum. That also does not necessarily apply to city details. These are for third party vendors because it's explicitly written in their contract that they will pay within 24 hours. We are going to approach that in contract language, that any detail, as long as our members are there or en route, that they will get the 4 hour minimum. We have our work probably cut out for us in that, since we already TA'd that article. But we'll see if we can reopen it and add that language. All right, now on to everybody's favorite subject, specialty teams.
Let's go.
Yeah. Let's go fireboat.
That's ours.
Fire investigation.
Another thing we tackled in labor management is we've had numerous members trying to get off of their respective specialty teams for a variety of reasons. Over the past year plus, a lot of those requests have been denied. And even before that, the requests weren't even initially honored right away. The department always uses the potential cost of overtime as a reason to not let members off the team. We do have significantly less people on our specialty teams right now. Sorry, we lost a little bit of audio here. What'd you kick?
Slowly came back.
Yeah, there we go. So we've been trying to get people off, and we haven't been very successful. We brought it up in contract negotiations. Management had declined what I feel is a pretty good proposal, which is from the time you submit your letter, you have 90 days to be removed from the team. They denied that. Obviously, we have a new fire chief, so maybe we can reapproach that in negotiations and see where that goes. But Chief Salzano is upstairs now, and he helped greatly in kind of getting a lot of these members off of the teams that we've had. I think I have one member from November of 21 that tried to get off the team, and they continually denied him. So we got everyone off who wanted to be off. I think we can keep up that momentum. Hopefully our teams are healthy enough to sustain this, but it does potentially open us up, or some members up, for mandatory.
That's always the thing. Specialty team members have to understand that if they do, people, you know, want to get off, shouldn't be forced to work when they want to get off the team. And there is a potential for people that are still on those teams to get mandatoried, and that rule doesn't apply if you've already been mandatoried, you know, in the year for specialty teams. So it is a downside, but the upside eventually would be more people coming on and they'll get back on the team, and it should make our numbers go up.
And going along that specialty route, we have some staffing parameter language that I know Rob has been dealing with, and which is, even if you bid the first float, doesn't necessarily mean that you'll always be there. Training needs and other needs dictate that a junior member or a lower number float may jump you. Rob, do you want to kind of get into that?
Yeah. Maybe I don't want to get into that.
You can keep talking. I mean, we're still recording.
Can't even hear myself.
Yeah, it's all right.
All right. Yeah, so it comes down to how the new process is going to work, and you need time in the seat, and that's what's going to dictate the amount of points you have. So the specialty team captains need to do their due diligence and make sure that everybody is being cycled through their firehouses so that they're getting the time in the seat, they're getting the training and everything, which is obviously the most important thing. But we also need to make sure that we're getting everybody in the seats so that they're getting a fair amount of time there to accumulate those points and give them the best opportunity to be a better member of the team. And without them going there, if you're the third or fourth float for whatever specialty team and you never go out there, then you're really never going to have the chance or opportunity to get better. So that's going to fall on the specialty captains per that new process that was put out in the info bulletin. So we just need to try to do a better job of cycling everybody through.
Yeah, and to our members, it's okay to reach out to your shift rep if you see someone lower float than you at a specialty station when you feel like you should be there. Just reach out to them. They'll confirm that everything's on the up and up, that you know, that member's there for a specific need and not just some non-arbitrary reason. But if you got any questions, like we always say, reach out to your shift rep. They'll look into it and they'll get you an answer. All right, now we're going to get into a little contract talk. There's been a lot of rumors going around. Anyone care to share some fun ones we've had?
Yeah, the old 175 money rumor has been going around about the tier 2, tier 1 pension thing. So I think some kitchen table conversations with certain board members or even just general people kind of got misconstrued. So probably want to clean that up. When it comes down to the pension stuff, I think everyone needs to realize that funding has to come from somewhere if we're going to actually pull this thing off. That's just like should be common knowledge that the money's just not going to come from nowhere. So obviously our position is we want the city to cover it. So that's obviously option number one for us in negotiations. We want the city to cover the funding. And then there's multiple other avenues that we can also look at. And the reality for us on the e-board is we haven't even had a chance to look down what those look like yet because we don't have the actuary study yet. So anything that's being said out there that's like these definitive things that are happening are just very untrue. Ideas have been thrown around here and there from us, from general members of the body. You know, we've been asking guys what they think, how they think we should do it. So we're taking all input and looking at all options, but we have not sat down mainly because we don't have the numbers yet to even run scenarios. So anything that's out there that you think you're going to be paying more into your pension or you're losing your 175 money or whatever other kind of ideas are out there, none of that has been discussed by the e-board / negotiating team to bring to the table. And we've made zero proposals on how that was going to be funded. So please everybody know that we are 1,000% going for the city to fully fund it. How realistic that is, we don't know yet, but we're definitely going down that road first. And once we have the actuary study, we can actually get a plan together so that we can actually go about it the right way.
I'd say too, if you hear rumors out there that are kind of crazy and you're just unsure if, you know, whether they're true or not, give us a call. We'll pick up the phone day, night, whatever, and we'll answer it. We'll squash rumors and just go from there.
Yeah, I mean, you can feel free in the middle of the crazy conversation, just call us and put us on speakerphone. We legit have zero to hide, and we're not trying to like do any secret squirrel stuff over here. So it's full transparency, and we're still just waiting for the actuary study to come back so that we can make our next move.
And incidentally, negotiations are open to the public and all members. So right. If anybody wants to go to any of these negotiations, you could hear directly what's happening at the table while we're there with everybody. So as someone who's been involved in this for quite a long time, generally speaking, as far as negotiations are concerned, I don't discuss too much about what's going on because if it's not signed off, it doesn't mean anything. And it could all change. And it's a negotiation. If anybody's negotiated anything from a house to a car to whatever you're dealing with, the negotiation is ongoing and it changes. And you're never going to know how it's going to end up. And it might not be where you thought it was going to be at the end when you started. So we're in the middle of this thing and we're like, Rob was saying we don't even know the numbers yet that we're going to be negotiating with so that we can't even propose anything if we wanted to. So it wouldn't make sense for us to propose giving up 175 money or anything else for that matter until we know what numbers we're dealing with. So, but like I said, I would strongly urge anybody who wants to come to negotiations and feel free to sit in the room and listen to what we're talking about.
And the funny thing about a lot of these rumors is that they come from us trying to be almost overly transparent to make sure that everybody can get a grasp of what was proposed, what we're kind of thinking, what things were tossed around, and things like this often get misconstrued as that's what we're proposing. So try not to take anything that we say out of context. Understand that if it is a proposal or if it's something significant, we're going to make that very clear. But especially don't take a casual conversation out of context
and then
a general idea, you know, and I equate it to, you know, you want a boat. Okay. So do I got to nix the maids? Do I got to, you know, the pooper scooper guy coming over to the house if I want a boat? I don't know. You know, it's just all those kind of things that,
that'll save you $25 a month, by the way.
Yeah. Well, a little bit more than that. It's pretty pricey to have someone pick up your dog poop. Worth it, but pricey. All right, so we're going to continue on to rumor control. We just had to edit some things out. We overspoke a little bit.
My feelings are hurt, by the way.
But I think you guys, were you guys surprised about the dog poop guy? You didn't know that was a thing?
I knew that was a thing, which is why I brought it up.
It's making me rethink the whole raises thing. Like, how are you able to afford that?
My grass looks good though, man. I don't.
I gotta pick my own up.
Well, it actually comes.
Wait, you poop on the grass?
My dogs.
Do they have people that come by and do cat? But
there
stuff?
There was a day.
Oh, I wish. Yeah.
What if your cat poops in the yard?
Yeah, well, the cat today just pooped on my dog's bed. I forgot to put her out in the garage, and
she's establishing dominance.
Yeah, it was a whole thing. There's, you know, and then peed on that stuff. Smells
bad.
You think
it smells terrible. Like piss?
It's terrible. Ammonia. No, it's ammonia. Yeah, it's like 10 times worse, and it lingers. But I feel bad because the guy's like 100% retiree age. Like he's an old white guy with a white beard, and every single time he comes, I'm playing Call of Duty. And he could see me right through, like, the
window. And you're just watching him out there picking up your dogs.
Yeah, and I don't have a shirt on. Like, the baby's just, like...
I assume you're talking about when you're at 49. This is happening, right?
No, well...
You're playing Call of Duty with no shirt on?
Do you even offer him a glass of water or anything? Nothing? Just wave at him, let him go?
Yeah.
Clean up the dog shit, get out of here.
He looks like this with the headphones on. And the
listen, that guy can afford... What I'm paying him, he can afford a lot more than water.
All
right. We're going to get down to the bottom of what this payment is at some point.
All right, so rumors. Anybody got any contract rumors?
The 10-year drop's pretty big.
Oh yeah, the infamous 10-year drop.
That'd be awesome.
That somehow started going around. Everyone thought Randy Comer thought he was like he hit the lotto. He goes, "Are we getting a 10-year drop? Can I stay two more years?
Yeah.
Can I stay until I'm 92?"
It does amaze me the rumors come about that have never been mentioned in contract negotiations.
Not even in PD, because originally we thought maybe PD suggested that, but they didn't.
That was just made up out of I don't know where.
Yeah.
Somebody something.
That one of the PD guys were saying that they were trying to have a 10-year drop, extend it two more years because they were having a hard time hiring people. So that was an incentive to try to keep.
Yeah, but they never proposed it.
But it was never a thing.
That's actually the first time I've heard that explained. So that's leading me to believe that Greg Jones started the rumor.
I'm not smart enough.
His dad was a cop.
But I would take that.
Yeah, I wouldn't be upset.
Yeah, no, there's no 10-year drop though. Just so we're all clear.
Yes, no 10-year drop.
No proposal on it.
What about the 75th percentile? I've heard some people say that we're getting rid of it. That it's anybody hear anything specific with that? No, not even going to touch it.
I mean,
don't get him started.
So honestly, the big issue I heard is the cap. People are upset with the 4% cap on a raise while staying in the 75th percentile. And if you look at that historically, so we got the one big raise when we finally joined the 75th percentile, which was great, brought everybody up to the level that we wanted to be within the county. And since that time, though, the raises have been, you know, between 1 and 3.5%, 3.3%, whatever. So we've been below 4% the entire time. Would we love to have a 5% or more raise every year? That would be wonderful. So it's something we're certainly not. I think we even might have proposed a 5% cap on our end as opposed to a 4%. So that hasn't been decided yet. We're still working on it. But it, like I said, like it's a negotiation, right? So it's going to be something that's going to be ongoing. And who knows what this could all change if other issues in the contract aren't resolved. We might change our whole what we're looking for as far as pay is concerned. So
I don't know how briefly you could do it, but can you briefly explain to our membership the 75th percentile and how what goes into calculating that? Is that even possible or no?
Briefly?
Yeah, not briefly. Sure. So basically what we do is we take out all the departments in the county, take out all their specialty pays, whether it's paramedic or any other kind of specialty pays they're getting, including ours. We take ours out as well. And then using the base pay, we rank everybody, and then we have to be in the top four or five. I forget what number it is now, how many departments there are in the county, but we make sure that we're at that exact level where we're actually at the 75th percentile within the county. And then once we figure that out, we know what everybody's raises are depending on what your rank is. So if you actually add back into our specialties, we're usually top one or two in the county, to be honest with you, if you add all that stuff back in by the time we're finished.
Okay.
And it's us. Awesome. It's Scott and myself do it, and whoever else, if Ryan, whoever wants to come and help us as well. But and then the city does theirs, and we kind of compare our numbers to make sure that they're even, if they match, and if they do, we're good. If they don't, then we figure that out at that point.
Just to kind of circle back to on the cap, the 4% cap thing, I know some people were thinking that was like dependent on like, oh, well, the tier two, then we're going to have to cap our raises and all that. It's not true. Everything's kind of working independent of each other, and we haven't been able to really discuss anything right now because obviously the big ticket item is the pension, because depending on what happens with that is going to be dependent on all these the open articles that are left on there on the table right now. So we're obviously not just going to take a shit sandwich. That's not the plan, and I don't want anyone to think that we're hinging anything.
Man, you got to keep rolling. This is just terrible radio. Don't let the butterfly.
If we did take
you.
A sandwich, Keith's guy could clean it up for
yeah,
us.
Yeah, yeah. Keith's got a guy for the shit sandwich cleanup if we need it. But yeah, one of the rumors going around was that we were going to do this 4% cap so we can get the tier two guys all squared away, and that's just not the case. So they're independent of one another. It was put on the table, not by us, obviously, and we will work through that once we get this tier one, tier two thing cleaned up.
Yeah, and the city's reasoning for that is to forecast their budget better. Having the 75th percentile, they feel like the numbers could be a little volatile at times, and they don't know whether they should prepare for a 1.5%, a 2%, or even a 3%. So they're just trying to be able to forecast their budget and say, okay, well, if 5% is the max, then let's just build our budget around 5%, and whatever the raises are, if they're less than that, is money in the general fund. Another interesting one I heard is actually, it's not even a, I wouldn't say it's a rumor, but because it's actually true, but the retiree retro. So let's dive into that. Anybody want to?
Sure. So I got nominated for that one.
You're the guy, man.
Yeah, you're
really
the guy.
So it's fully with our intent to obviously go for retro for everybody, okay? We want everybody to get paid what they're owed when they were working here. However, for us to get people that have separated service, if you're not doing a job, but if you've separated service, you're no longer working for the department, we have to put in the language to include you in getting that retro pay. So, for example, Ray Cicero just retired from my office. He just retired in January. So going back a little over a year to October 21, theoretically, he was here. He should be owed, in my opinion, all the retro that any raises that we would have incurred during that time period. So to do that, though, we have to put that in the contract. We intend to do that. We can't guarantee that the city's going to agree to do that. But going forward, that would be the intent of the E-Board, to get everybody the pay that they're owed while they're working there.
Yeah, that will definitely be part of our proposal. That's going to go in there. Now, what comes after that, we're going to have to work through. But that is, just so everyone knows, we're not just telling everybody, one, we're not telling everybody it is 100% guarantee, and two, we're not telling everybody that we're not trying to do that. That our intent is, the way I tried to break it down was, if we were making $10 an hour for the last year and we were supposed to be making $15 and you separate an employment, then you're owed the $5, right? So that is our intent, and we're going to put it in there and move forward from there and see what happens.
Ron, you're a great explainer.
Thanks.
You're good at that. Yeah. I might have to toss some more stuff to you.
He's a real word.
Yeah.
Bunch of criminals.
Best forcible entry class the Expo's ever had.
And we cut right to Greg talking about criminals.
Here we go.
All right.
And it begins.
Our topic expert.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, there's a printer in the background making noises with Zahner over there.
I knew this time.
Zahner's printing out his 97th expense report right now.
Poor Ryan. He has to deal with all of our nonsense.
Scanning in receipts right now.
Well, my favorite receipt,
embezzlement's hard work.
My favorite receipt is just the picture of the gas pump.
Gas pumps don't print out receipts, apparently.
Sometimes, yeah.
I tried. I hit the little receipt button. I was so proud of myself.
You really
for
took a picture of the gas pump?
Yeah, I didn't print it, and I wasn't going inside. Like, that just doesn't happen.
Because you can never just go up to any gas pump, take a picture, and just submit that as a receipt.
Exactly.
But, yeah.
Guess what? Denied.
Yeah. Well, no, it was the same exact amount as it was charged on the card.
Denied. Okay.
Denied.
Yeah. Obvious. You did fine. Obvious flim-flam.
Oh, man.
He probably just drove up to a gas pump that was already registered, whatever it was.
I just walk around paying for people's gas and just, like, an EBC card. I just, hey, can you give me the
$10? It's actually not a bad idea.
I think that was in a movie once.
Speaking of criminals.
Yeah, good times.
All right, let's talk about Chaffee's nose stuffiness.
He's had that since I've known him.
I know. Did you bring your spray?
I did.
Yeah.
He's Afrin
right now. You have Afrin?
What are you rocking, Flonase?
Oh, my Afrin's
tonight's going to be
Afrin, dude. I called it.
Tonight's going to be his first meeting where he's filling in for President Bain, and he's going to sound like he has a clothespin on his nose.
That's true.
He actually told us that he was the acting president earlier when he had to drive to dinner by himself.
He was generous. I'll tell you what, he was upset about that.
That's how you treat the acting president? I go, did you just like flex on us that you're the acting president?
He's embracing it. He's going off by himself.
I think he has an allergy to Starburst. Because he eats so many.
Maybe you're having like an anaphylactic reaction to Starburst.
That's why you're always sniffing.
Choppy, you might have
since I've known you.
You might have to grab a mic, dude, because we're gonna get into your sweets addiction.
246 Starburst jelly beans.
Ooh, oh,
that's good.
Choppy, tell him about Tallahassee when you just happen to go on a walk and what you found. The Strawberry Shortcake Festival.
Oh, yeah.
he just happened to go for a walk midday.
I was literally walking through the Capitol, just hanging out, walking through the Capitol, and they were having a strawberry shortcake convention, and they had samples of strawberry shortcake. And then I had to Google it because I didn't know what it was, but I believe it's now the new state of
You didn't
Florida.
Know what strawberry shortcake was?
No, I didn't know what the convention or what the thing was at the Capitol was. But now, if you know, it's key lime pie and strawberry shortcake is the dessert of Florida.
Oh, all right.
There's some fun.
How were they? Were they delicious?
It was really good.
I can see key lime pie, but strawberry shortcake.
Did you call?
Yeah, that's a Georgia. I equate that to like Georgia.
No, Plant City, they have the strawberry.
Did you call anybody and invite them there with you?
I sent some pictures.
Oh, they did.
Oh, okay.
It was a picture of his belly with his shirt up past his belly. He's just on a park bench. Just
the wrong guy walked into that festival. It was like they. Out of strawberries at that point.
Yeah, they got Wish Farms up there, right?
Yeah.
Shut this buffet down.
Okay. I hate strawberries.
What?
Anything that ends
he doesn't
in
like. He doesn't like berries.
If it ends in berry, I'm out. Can't do it.
You like? You're a cookie person.
Raymond Berry.
I'm a cookie person.
What about Raymond Berry? What about?
I already dispatched
Raymond Berry.
I do like berry.
There's an echo. That's the presidential echo.
Yeah. He thought he was so. He thought he nailed that one.
Strawberries taste like. It was everyone was silent after he said that. That's okay.
I don't care.
We know.
You are acting president. That's okay.
No understand. Report tonight. Guaranteed.
We got probably one of the quietest e-board members. John, you want to say something? Come on, John. Come on. Just say hi.
Had his first
What's
sushi
up?
Tonight.
Don't make it weird. What's up? Talk about what you want. Say something.
But what I want?
Yeah. What do you want? What do you want?
What do you really, really
he
want?
He doesn't want sushi. I'll tell you that.
John. You don't like sushi.
No.
Can you explain your sushi experience?
2 minute warning, by the way.
It tastes great the first 2 seconds of biting into it, and then it tastes like nail polish. And
nail polish?
That's what it tasted like.
Nail polish.
It's like very specific. It's
how much nail polish? How would you know what nail polish tastes? You need a lot of nail polish.
Yeah, I touched a boob once. It was like grabbing like a bag with like it was like sand.
John, are you a toe guy?
Oh no, John's a toe guy. You heard it
here. Yes. You know who's not a toe guy? It's Rob.
I'm a toe guy if they're symmetrical. You got weird feet, I'm out. You'd be a 10. Shits are all fucking uneven. Get out of here with that.
You don't like Flintstone.
Keep your shoes on.
Sean, it's your feet.
All right.
Sean's got good feet.
I think we got a meeting to attend, fellas. And ladies.
Hopefully.
Hopefully not.
All right. So we got four of us now. We're joined by the BC rep, Rudiminer, who's also one of our lead pension guys.
I think he is the lead pension guy.
Yeah, the lead.
Yeah.
The man, the chairman, right?
Chairman of the board.
I'm just one vote of seven.
Can you quickly explain some of the highlighted differences between Tier 1 and Tier 2?
No, not quickly. I'm trying to pull up the actual ordinance, which is found in Unicode, and I'll see if I can read the ordinance and then try to explain it to you in English, the difference between the two.
Oh, this is going to be good radio.
Yeah. if we could have a lot of dead air while this is going on, that'd be perfect. Maybe Choffy banging around in the background. That would
be Choffy, you got a cookie or something you want to cry, or loud chip again?
Thanks for the two-minute
Yeah, we put them on the clock quick.
Ask a question, Mom.
All right, so multiplier, what's the difference?
The multiplier, tier one has the 3 3/8.
Okay.
Okay. Tier two has this flat 3%.
All right. And then the...
Do you want to just go real quick what a multiplier is?
Sure. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. Okay. The multiplier is the percentage you earn for every year of work you have. And that's how we come to the total percentage that you get for your pension. Tier 2 is 75. Tier 1 is currently 81 and change.
And that would be after a full 31 point, for tier 1, right? That would be after 31.96.
Well, the time.
You just multiply that number by
The time is decided by those two factors.
Right.
81% is the max. You divide 81 by 3.38 and you get 24.
But theoretically, couldn't tier one, I don't know if we want to go into this, but a tier one could earn more if they reduce their drop, right? So if I decided not to do an 8-year drop, I decided to do a 5-year drop and extend my 30, I would just lose the drop number. Does that make sense what I'm saying? So if I go over 31.96 years and do 33 years, I would get less drop, but I could earn a higher percentage. Or does my percentage definitely cap out at 81%?
Definitely caps at 81%. Okay. There's a small subset who get a little more, but...
Right, the older...
Right, but nobody's currently eligible for that.
Okay.
So 81 is the max. 81, we'll round up 81 and change is the max for tier 1. Tier 2's max is 75.
Okay. Now, how does that number get calculated? I know tier 1 has the highest. It's calculated over your highest 2 years or highest 24 months consecutively?
That's a term... AFC, you'll hear it referred to AFC, that's annual final compensation. Final compensation. And tier one, AFC is based on 2 years, but that's 2 years is interpreted as the highest 24 continuous months. So it does not have to be the last 2 months. 2 years could be any 24-month period in your career.
So if you were a captain who went to days 4 years before your drop date and you did your 2 years on days, that could possibly be your highest 2 years if you transferred back to shift for the last 2 years before your drop date, correct?
Correct.
So it doesn't have to be your last 2 years. It's your highest 2 years for tier one.
Okay. Or tier two is the same principle, except instead of the average of 2 years, it's the average of 5 years or 60 continuous months.
Which is a big difference.
Mathematically, yeah, it's a big difference based on the theory that your salaries are going up every year.
Right.
Right. If your salary stays stagnant for 2 years versus stagnant for 5 years, then
not a difference.
It's not a difference.
But generally, as we're getting COLAs and whatnot throughout the years, you should be getting some pay raises as you move along. And if you're doing the best 2 years annual compensation. Final compensations compared to five, it's going to be a lot less. The five, not a lot less, but I would imagine. Do you have a general number of the difference?
No, that would require some math. But historically, and a number we use in the pension is on average salaries go up 3% a year.
Right.
So you'd be missing out at the 2/5 of 9%. That math makes in the top of my head makes any.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the final biggest difference, I know there's a lot of other differences, but one of the other major key ones is that 10-year certain in life.
This one's a little harder to explain. And I don't know if I qualify it as the biggest difference, or the most impactful difference. I'd have to say the AFC, if I was in tier one and I wanted anything changed, I would probably look to change.
I think that would have the greatest, if we're going to piecemeal it, that would have the greatest impact quickly of increasing tier two's pension benefit. It's pretty substantially. I mean, it would make a big difference, I think, but
correct.
Not being an actuary, but.
Correct. Let me, before we start discussing the intricacies of the third factor. I need to say the standard disclaimer that these comments are my own, not the pension boards, and are in no way can be used as evidence in a claim to against the pension board.
Well, I mean, the bottom line is everybody has to make their own individual financial decisions as far as their pension is concerned, as far as picking the beneficiaries and that kind of thing.
Correct, but I was like trying to explain the difference in this third factor. I may get it wrong. I may misquote it, but so it's just me speaking on behalf of the union and not the pension board.
Fair enough.
So when you finish your career and you go to retire, as we just mentioned, the AFC, the plan actuary and the plan administrator is going to come up with a number to figure out how much you're going to get monthly. So let's say you did your full career, and for tier one, you did 24 years and you're getting 81%. So to get 100% of that, we have a standard benefit. You have to choose the standard benefit. And for tier one, the standard benefit provides that you will get your 100% of what you've earned until you pass. And then when you pass, your spouse will get 60%. Well, it doesn't have to be your spouse. That's being finished beneficiary. Your beneficiary will get 60% of that. Well, she'll get 100%, he or she will get 100% of that for 1 year. And then going forward for the rest of his or her life, she'll get 60%. If you have children, you get a certain percentage per children, not to exceed 100%. Now, with that benefit, if your beneficiary happens to precede you, your benefit does not decrease at all. You get the same 100% you left with. So if at the end of your career, they do the math and they calculate that your 81% of your two highest years is $1,000, you get $1,000 for the rest of your life. Now, you also have several choices. That's the standard benefit. You could get above the standard benefit and choose some sort of annuity, whereas you'll get more money every month, but that money stops upon your death. That's the 10-year life certain choice.
Well, I thought 10-year certain in life is, because I elected that actually for other reasons that I don't really want to get into right now, but basically for 10 years as a beneficiary, but after those, which includes my drop time, by the way. Right. So while I'm in the drop, that clock is ticking. So hopefully I get to do an 8-year drop. So 8 years of those 10 will be gone. Then after that, for only 2 years, my ex-wife would be the beneficiary. And if I don't die after that, there is no beneficiary.
Correct.
Okay. So
there's also, but for that, currently in tier one, you get more than the standard benefit.
Correct.
You get approximately.
It's almost like taking no beneficiary.
It's approximately 105%.
Right.
So you get an extra 5%. Tier one and also tier two also has a joint, what we call joint survivor benefit. And that's several joint, 100% joint survivor, 60% joint survivor, 50%, yada, 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 all the way down. And the 100% we'll use 100% joint survivor is 100% joint survivor means that your number, that 100%, not 100% joint survivor, but the 100% of what you earn, we're using $1,000 a month, will be reduced approximately 5%. So instead of $1,000 a month, you're going to get $950 a month. But that number doesn't change no matter who dies first. That's what the joint survivor means. If your wife dies before you, you get $950. If you die before her, she gets $950. It stays the same. It's $950 no matter how many. There's no adding for any children or not. And there's other forms of that. There's 50% joint survivor, there's 75% joint survivor. But all of those are, the joint survivor is basically you're buying
an insurance policy, but you're paying it through a pension deduction. Now, where the difference between Tier 1 and Tier 2 comes in is Tier 2 standard benefit is the 10-year life certain that we speak of, but that's not the only benefit. You still have a choice to buy a joint survivor for your family, if you like. The reason why
it's at like decreased rate, right?
Right. So the reason why so the reason why there's a difference is in Tier 1, your standard benefit, you're starting at 100% of what you've earned. To get reduced to the joint survivor, it's roughly a 5% cost. To get to the 10 years life certain, it's a 5% gain. So, but in Tier 2, that base, the 100% base, is moved up to the life certain. So the difference, the actuarial difference between the 10-year life certain and the 100% joint survivor is now 10%. So the same benefit that's costing a Tier 2 a Tier 1 member 5% is actuarially costing a Tier 2 member 10%. If that makes any sense. This actuarial science over radio is
not very exciting.
But it's important to know, because a lot of those things, I think the majority of our members don't even think about a pension or retirement fully until they start creeping up on 20 years or maybe even a couple of months before retirement. Correct. That's probably when they start asking the majority of the questions.
Now, though it's an increased cost, if you read the ordinance, which a lot of members have, it kind of sounds like that's the only option for Tier 2 is the 10-year life certain,
which is not true.
All members of the plan are afforded the ability to have a joint survivor. It's just a little more costly for Tier 2 members.
Okay.
We're discussing this with other pension professionals across the state. That's the standard. The Tier 1 benefit of having these the 60% as your normal benefit is not standard.
Okay. Excellent. Anything else in terms of rumors that you're misinformation that you hear often that we should clarify? Nothing.
As far as pension?
Yeah, yeah.
Or Tier 2 stuff?
Yeah, yeah. Anything.
I mean, John, have you heard anything that people have continual questions on?
I think it was just that the insurance is the biggest thing. I think that people just no one understand what the difference was on the insurance, or not the insurance, the pension.
The multipliers and the benefits?
They understood the multiplier, but not like the joint survivor.
Okay.
So, I mean, I thought Rudemeyer kind of explained it pretty good, at least for me to understand for the most part.
Well, I mean, because one of them, and I forget which one, is if your spouse dies before you lose part of your benefit for some of the Tier 1 guys, right? If they elect that option. I forget which one it is. I don't have them right in front of me, unfortunately. Hopefully, I just didn't kill the podcast.
Well, but, yeah. the one thing I didn't know is that the clock starts ticking while you're in the drop.
Only for the 10-year certain.
Only life. For the 10-year certain.
Yeah, correct. So,
wow.
Because if you think about it, my pension, I'm retired as far as my pension is concerned. I'm still working here, mm-hmm. right? But as far as my pension is concerned, my pension's frozen and are paid and into a fund. So that 10-year starts when you're in the drop. So,
okay.
If you look at, I think, Ron, what you're talking about is the joint survivors, the 50% joint survivors, and the 75%
joint survivors. Correct. I believe that, yeah.
So what that is when you'll actually get more than the 100% until one of you, until the first person dies, and then it'll be reduced.
Then your benefit is reduced.
But it's not, it's the first one to die.
Right. So which is kind of bizarre. If you think about it, you've worked here the whole time. If your wife happens to predecease you, all of a sudden your benefits cut pretty substantially, which could be quite hurtful for somebody. Right. So
now I think another often confused thing is the difference between changing beneficiaries and changing the option you take. When you go in and you make your option, you say, I'm doing 100% joint survivor and I'm leaving it to my spouse. Prior to, this is one of these asterisks that this is not advice. Because prior to your wife, to your initial beneficiary passing, you can change beneficiaries. You can't change your option to say, no, I changed my mind. I want to do the 100%. I want to do the 10-year life certain. Your initial decision of which you choose is binding. Your beneficiary can be changed. Now, it may be actuarially reduced if...
You went from a wife to a child.
Or an 18-year-old second wife.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that one.
your benefit will be actually reduced, but you can change it.
Okay, perfect. Well, thank you for helping and clearing some of that up. And, appreciate it.
Well, if you made it this far, we appreciate it. I hope we were able to provide you with some additional information, clear up some rumors. If you have any topics you'd like us to cover in any future podcasts, email secretary@iaff.local765.org or contact your shift rep. Thanks for listening.